So a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 24th June 2021, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing with our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapter Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 277, if I'm not wrong. Yes, 277, the new adapted verse. Just relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. We will have our, as usual, half an hour awareness-based meditation. We are off the light now, then you can proceed with your meditation. To develop this awareness-based meditation is very simple when you understand. What we need to do is to silence our mind, relax body and mind, then just maintain awareness until the awareness nature becomes very stable. In between whatever arises, let it arise. It can be a thought. It can be sankhara, it can be whatever form of mind activity, tactile or whatever. When they arise, just let it be aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't continue to create thinking. Do not follow the whatever phenomena that arise or activity that arise. Any mind state that arise, especially the aggregates of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. Then the movement of thought, you just relax, maintain awareness and silence everything. Just away. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. And you can realize your true mind, your silent mind. When your awareness nature stabilizes, all sankhara activity or thought process will cease. Then all sankhara activity and thought process cease. That is your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature within. That one is the unconditioned, unborn, is just aware. And that is your true mind, your meditative mind that can understand things, that can develop the true understanding, that nature can insight into phenomena, can awaken, can observe to understand what is going on within the form of mind. And through all this observation and awakening, it can come to understand profoundly who we are, what we are. We call that self-discovery or self-knowledge. And through all this understanding, we will have clear understanding of what this form of mind is all about, what the human being is all about. Then what is it that is beyond this form of mind and the human being, their nature within? Once you start to establish clarity and understanding of all this, you will understand clearly the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. Buddha Dhamma will arise when you are able to realize your silent mind, your true mind. So remember the first three of the four support for awareness-based meditation. First, relax into every mind state that arises, body and mind, relax. Then silent everything, maintain awareness. That support is for as long as you can. Of course, lastly is trust. Trust your own nature to do the meditation. Okay, with this I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Then you all can continue with your meditation. After the alarm trigger off, I will ring the bell three times. upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Use those mind states to live life, to develop the daily mindfulness, to cultivate your daily religious routine. This is how you can maintain the faith, the diligence, the sincerity to progress along the path of Dhamma. Okay, you all can visit that. Then we shall continue from where we stopped, page 277. The adapted verse is from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings. So this teaching is very beautiful because all these teachings are from the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Okay, I will read on. The Dhamma is like water, which can wash away defilements. Where the water comes from the well, a pond, a stream, a river, a brook, a channel, or a great ocean, it can still cleanse. The Dhamma water that washes away defilement is also the same. Though varying in appearance, the nature of water is the same. So, too, is the nature of the Dhamma. Though the appearances of water differ, all water can still clean. Similarly, Dhamma water can wash away afflictions and habitual tendencies. Thus, the Buddha turned the Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths 3 times and taught that all beings or all things have always been empty and still. So this is a very profound teaching. The phenomenal world within the existential world, they are not what you think, because basically their universal characteristic is empty and still. That is our true nature. But from there, everything arises. That's why when they arise, all this phenomenal of consciousness, they deceive the mundane mind, they delude the mundane mind. So living beings become entangled because they do not have the clarity of mind to see all this clearly, to understand what is going on. They fail to understand creation, how creation come to be. They are all dependent originating phenomena, condition arising causal phenomena. Their universal characteristic is impermanent. That's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity, he know you, he know me. If you attach and cling one thing your way, which is not in accordance with nature's way, suffering will be the result. And because it's impermanent, that's why it's anatta, non-self, empty, no reality. Empty here means it doesn't mean there is nothing. Empty here means there are things within life, within existence, but ultimately it is empty because it's empty nature or existence. The ultimate nature is empty, no reality. He know you, he know me. Whatever happened, they are dependent originating, condition arising. It arises, it sustains itself. Then when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Then after that, no more, gone, dead and gone. There is no reality at all. That's why it's empty. So there is a saying in Mahayana which is very good. He said, when we come to this existential world, this universe, became empty-handed. 来也空，去也空。Then when we leave this universe, then our form and mind disperse. We also leave without taking anything along. That's why you come empty, you go empty. Then why do living being through delusion grieve for more emptiness in between? So this is a very beautiful saying, but the Mandarin version, if you can understand Mandarin, is better. Because the way it is expressed brings out the meaning. When I was very young, I heard this in one of the swordsmanships, we call it the cinema show. The monks were chanting this sutra. Then they came across this verse. There was a very powerful and aggressive swordsman, or I should say a very strong swordsman, very elderly or so, trapped by the three monks down there in the Shaolin temple underneath. And every day they were chanting this Dhamma Sutra for him to change, for him to understand. So when he came to this part, this swordsman actually developed wisdom. They keep on chanting. They said, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong, nama si zu he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei. Means when you come empty, you go empty in between, then why do you grieve over emptiness? It's delusion. So do not cling on to things, hold on to things. Then ultimately, the form, the physical body, goes the way of nature. Old age, sickness and death are nature's phenomena. These are reality of life and existence. We need to experience them. We need to understand their reality so that we are not deceived by them, so that we will not deludedly cling and hold on to the form and mind, believing that it is what we are, that this is real. That's the reason why the Buddha, in his final summary of the first noble truth, he said, in short, he summarized all of suffering, is it? They arise because of our self-delusion. When living beings deludedly cling, grasp, and attach to the five aggregate of form and mind, thereby developing the aggregates of grasping, it will lead to suffering. The upadana khandas, the grasping aggregate, condition, suffering. So when you have wisdom, when you have understanding, when you have insight into phenomena, when you have developed a clear understanding of the universal characteristic, then all this become very clear, self-knowledge become very clear, then we will clearly understand who are we, what are we, what is this form and mind all about? What is this human being all about? So when we analyze the human being as taught by the Buddha, he subdivided them into the five aggregate of form and mind, namaru. Then we realize there are two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind. One is as a human being. We have a physical body, which is the form aggregate, the physical form aggregate. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. And this consciousness has the four more aggregates of mind. That mind, the mundane mind or the consciousness, can feel, can perceive, can arise activity of mind, sankhara activity, can become emotional, can develop mental states, mental formation, images. or whatever that the mind can do, the content of consciousness is sankhara. Then finally, the mind can also become conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, and what we tactile feel and think. So these are the four aggregates. Together with the physical aggregate of form, we have the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind as a human being. And according to the Buddha, these five aggregates of form and mind are impermanent. They go the way of nature. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling onto, hold onto, grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, I can own all these things, all this can be mine. This is Sakkayaditi, self-delusion, wake up. The form and mind is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to go through the karmic process, to fulfill our vows, and experience whatever we want to experience while within this existence. So make full use of it. Do not be deluded by it. This form and mind is for us to use. Understand this, see this clearly. Then you will know the secret of life, you will awaken. Then you will have no more problem. Yeah. So meditation is to uncover this secret. When you silence your mind, you maintain mindfulness and awareness, you can see them. Then the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind is, when you are mindful and aware, you can see. Because every moment when we are conscious, when we live life, we need to manifest consciousness. Every moment of seeing, every moment of hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, this mental consciousness arises. So when they arise, if you are mindful, if you are aware, you can see the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind very clearly. We know we need a mind, we need sense basis upon contact, of course, together with the sense data. The respective sense or consciousness arises. But when we are mindful, aware, in the midst of life, in meditation, then we can see all this arising clearly. How it happened, the dependent origination process, the 12 link, Paticca-samuppada as taught by the Buddha. And this is very profound, very beautiful. So when you see the aggregates of mind, having this four ability of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara and Vijnanam, then you also understand how the external form enters the mind through the aggregates of perception. These aggregates of perception brings the external form into the mind. So when these five come together, we call it a thought. This is what the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind is all about. It's just a thought. That's why if you grasp and cling onto this thought, the five aggregate, it becomes grasping aggregate. The Buddha called it Sakkayaditi, self-delusion. That's how you suffer. That's how you entangle yourself. That's how you react to sense experience. You become emotional. You become fearful. You become unhappy. You think you exist. You think you are real. That's what the Dhamma is. So silence your mind, develop mindfulness to understand all this, to observe all this, leading to self-knowledge, self-investigations. Then you look within, you are aware. Then you know how you function as a human being, how the mundane mind arises and create all these things. That's why the Buddha said, our mundane mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. And he called this the mano. Mano is the mundane mind, the thinking mind. And this is not the real mind. This is not the true mind. There is another nature within us, which is the unconditioned, the unborn, that has the awareness nature. But it's not a being. It cannot come out and live by. That's why it's not easy to develop the understanding. It's not a clear-cut thing. And to realize that true mind, that true nature is not easy, you need to meditate. You need to completely silence your mind until no thought, no movement, no activity. Everything returns and becomes still, tranquil, with clarity within, just away. That's it. So this is the summary of what you need to understand. Okay, hopefully this can help you all. Eh? We go back to the adapted verse and we will read from there. This adapted verse didn't explain all this. That's why I have to explain all this. Why the Sutra of Infinite Meaning say, basically, when the Buddha turned the Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths three times, he taught to living beings that all things have always been empty and still. So to understand this is not easy. It's very profound. That's why I need to explain it to you through the basic Dhamma or the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. And just now one is a very complete explanation summary. So hopefully you all, after the recording come out, listen to it, develop clear understanding, then meditate to realize it. You will become very beautiful. Then my nature will rejoice, study with you all. Okay, now we will read the commentaries. Where the water is from a well upon a river, the nature of water is the same. It can wash away filth and dirt. People's true nature is inherently pure. Yeah, this is very true. However, as we become tainted by habitual tendency, you see, the author like to use the word habitual tendency because this is how delusion set in until it becomes so habitual. So tainted by habitual tendency, this true nature becomes covered and defiled, means clouded and defiled. Actually here the word you cannot understand, you think that nature can become defiled. No, that nature can be obscure, or they use the word clouded, just like the cloud. When they are there, you cannot see the sun, or the sun's ray cannot shine forth. That's why it's clouded, obscure. But the sun's ray is always there. That nature is always there, ever shining, ever radiating. That nature is undefiled. The defiled word is meant for the mundane mind. The mundane mind, through its own delusion, sakkadhiti, get defiled. When it get defiled, means it has wrong view. It conditions evil roots, make them evil. That's why the evil roots are the roots of evil. When you have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you become evil. The former mind become evil. The mundane mind become evil. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When you tend towards evil, the mind become evil. When you develop heedfulness, right view, right understanding, and tends toward wholesomeness, mind become wholesome, beautiful. Just as water can wash away filth and dirt, The Dhamma can subdue habitual tendency and enable everyone's inherently wholesome nature or true nature or true mind to appear. Our inherent true nature is very beautiful, very pristine, fully aware. Due to physical restrictions in its environment, there are different names and appearances for water. Depending on the condition, it can be a stream, a spring, a brook, a river, etc. Although the name and appearances are different, the fundamental nature of water is the same. The nature of the various kinds of Dhamma, like the nature of various forms of water, does not differ. Though the appearances of water differ, all water can still cleanse. Similarly, all Dhamma water can wash away afflictions and habitual tendency. Is used in in actual fact, when you develop the cultivation, there is no such thing as Dhamma water washing away the field, the defilement, the vision. It is the awakening of the mundane mind. The mundane mind realizes itself and awakens, is to be deluded. Then that wisdom is the one that liberates the mundane mind and free. So here is just an analogy. They use it as an analogy because they want to use water. So maybe it's easier for people to understand that water can clean. So Dhamma is also like water, can wash away affliction and heavier tendency. But when it comes to actual cultivation, it's not about water. It's about wisdom, understanding. So bear in mind that understanding. Do not be gullible and read the textbook. Then, hey, the book say Dhamma water. No. How can I meditate? I cannot find Dhamma water. So you will be doubly confused if you have that type of wrong view or delusion. So I will read on. We engage in spiritual practice precisely to wash away our affliction and conquer our deep-rooted habitual tendency. See, the author knew, very difficult to root out habitual tendency. Deep-rooted. Because it has been there for so long, eons and eons and eons of birth and death. Habitual tendency, delusion, the ticket of reviews, opinion, conditioning, belief system, they are not easy to root out. So to do that, you need Dhamma understanding, you need wisdom born of direct seeing, direct awakening. That's why you should read the Sabba Asavat Sutta, knowing and seeing. According to Lord Buddha, he said, the complete removal or eradication of Asava can only happen in one who sees and one who knows, or one who knows and one who sees. It can never happen in one who does not see and does not know. Because this is referring to the direct seeing and the awakening, the understanding. So to completely root out the defilement, removal of asava, you need wisdom, nothing else. So this aspect is very important. So I'll read again. We engage in spiritual practice precisely to wash away our affliction and conquer all the deep-rooted habitual tendencies that we had accumulated to our transmigration in the sixth round. That's why this transmigration, Liu Dao Lun Hui, has happened for a very, very long period. That's why it's eons and eons and eons. Samsara. Thus, we are like archaeologists digging out 1,000 years old ruin of stone and bronze tool from layer of sand and dust. This ancient artifact were not buried in the ground by human. They were buried by nature's disaster or through the accumulation of sand and dust over a long period of time in the desert. The environment changes by the seconds. The formation of sand shift by ocean wave and tides. This is because a grain of sand is so tiny that it can be carried and spread by the wind. When there is a strong wind, sand from the Mongolian desert can be blown to Beijing or even to Taiwan. So we can see the potential power of sand and dust. Habitual tendencies are like sand and dust, which will continuously cover our own inner nature. Therefore, we must have firm resolve and perseverance in order to wash away all affliction and habitual tendency. That's why you must make the resolve, the aspiration, the vow, the aditan, and persevere with faith and sincerity to walk the path of Dhamma, to cultivate. Otherwise, this spiritual path is not easy. Okay, I read on. In life, because the mind is influenced by external temptation, and this is very true. If you are a true cultivator, you will understand this. The mind is influenced by external phenomena that tempt you, that lure you, L-U-R-E. External temptation can lure the living thing. They can cause you to attach, to cling to crops and give meaning. It produces craving, internal struggles and other desires, all of which leads to the creation of karma. That's why they have karmic implications and consequences. But in the end, we are still subject to this law of nature. That's why ultimately it's still the law of nature. All things has always been empty and still. So this physical existence will eventually come to an end. Yet the Buddha taught us that everything and every phenomenon in the universe contain a wondrous intrinsic nature. Although the forms and appearances may differ, their intrinsic nature remains the same. Take burning wood as an example. Did the wood ignite the fire, or did the fire ignite the wood? It is hard to draw a distinction, because they are ultimately of the same essence. The Dhamma is truly inconceivable. Actually, wood is just wood. How do we know that it has the potential to produce fire? Even in ancient times, primitive men knew that they could ignite a fire by rubbing wood sticks together. So it is clear that humans inherently have wisdom. Wisdom is not something that only arises after hearing the Buddha Dharmas or the Buddha's teaching. We all have this wisdom. So after the Buddha attained enlightenment, he simply hoped to guide sentient beings back to their inner nature. That's why you must realize your true one, your true nature within. That is why he taught the Four Noble Truths and expounded the 12 Patijasamutpada, means the the law of dependent origination, they explain clearly how our mind functions. The cyclical existence, dwelling of cyclical existence. So this, the teacher Samuppada, a law of dependent origin, is very profound, very important. When you see clearly, you awaken. Because everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Not what you think. Empty and still, ultimately. His purpose was always for us to penetrate the truth of life, is the reality, and thus form aspiration to actualize the six perfections or paramita in all action, so that we can enter and experience the true Dhamma. This is very true. So the purpose of the teaching is always for living being to penetrate the truth of life, to see truth, to see reality, to awaken to the universal characteristic. Then after that, you form aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way, to actualize the six perfection in all actions, so that you can enter and experience the true Dhamma way. So these are very beautiful description of the teachings and the cultivation. So we are at the next adapted verse. Maybe I will just read to you the adapted verse. Then like last week, we will leave it for next week, next session sharing. Then I will maybe stop for the second session earlier, so that we have more time. Okay. Pure water is like the Dhamma. The Dhamma can conform to condition and capabilities and distinguish between all things. Thus we realize that pure wisdom is in all places and encompass all things. A stream, a river, a spring, and a well all have different names. The nature of their water is the same, it nourishes and eliminates defilement. However, the three dhammas, the four fruits, and the two paths are not the same. So all this, they are very beautiful. Basically, Dhamma is very beautiful. So if you look at Dhamma, the understanding is the teachings of the Buddha. That's why we call it the Buddha Dhamma. But what is Dhamma? Actually, Dhamma is truth. And truth is the nature's law that governs life and existence. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. That's why he taught us the Dhamma, the essential truth that we need to understand. So Dhamma is very important. So pure water is like Dhamma. Here the description is very good. Then this Dhamma can conform to condition and capabilities, and also distinguish between all things. Thus we realize that pure wisdom is in all places and encompass all things. So this is a very beautiful description of Dhamma. Then I would like to add on, maybe this is for your own understanding. In fact, we need Dhamma to have wisdom. We need Dhamma to develop understanding, so that we understand life, we understand who we are, what we are. And Dhamma is like our spiritual solution or spiritual medicine that can help humanity or living beings overcome all of their life problems and situations. It can help us understand life, live life to the fullest, experience life to the fullest, and give meaning to life. So without Dhamma, suffering will be the end result. So Dhamma, if it's so important, why not cultivate a practitioner, Buddhist in general, sees the beauty and importance of Dhamma, then go all out to cultivate this Buddha Dhamma, to develop the requisite understanding, wisdom and awakening, so that this Dhamma can be a spiritual medicine for you to develop clear understanding of life and to recover from whatever life problem, affliction, suffering and misery. The best solution is to awaken to the teaching of Dhamma. So Dhamma, if you can see the beauty of it, the importance of it, then resolve to cultivate it and realize it or awaken to it, it can be of great benefits to living beings, especially human beings, and it can bring about great transformation to the individual in the form of clarity, understanding, wisdom, virtue, and what we call transformation in our character, our personality for the better. Then it will help us understand life, improve our life, and make us beautiful. Then we can become a blessing to all of humanity, environment, and nature. So this is the part on Dhamma that I wish all Kanyamita to develop clear understanding. When you can appreciate Dhamma, you will throughout the day cultivate this Buddha Dhamma, develop the understanding, reflect, contemplate, silence your mind to perfect yourself, to awaken. Then when Dhamma is everywhere, when you can see Dhamma, you see the Buddha. That's why the Buddha told the monk, he who sees me may not see the Dhamma. Well, that is the physical form of Lord Buddha. But he who sees the Dhamma, the Buddha said, sees me. Because the Buddha is the embodiment of perfection of wisdom and virtue. And what is Dhamma? Dhamma is truth. When you have it, when you realize it, you can become the Sammasambuddha. You can have the embodiment of wisdom, virtue, and all of the perfection that he has perfected. And you can become a Sammasambuddha, an omniscient being, fully enlightened, all-knowing, with the nine great virtue. And we always chant the great nine great virtue of Sammasambuddha. That's why we chant the salutation to the Buddha. Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho, and all these things. So all of the teachings points towards the beauty and importance of Dhamma. So keep this in mind. Cherish Buddha Dhamma. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, and sincerely with the faith, persevere, cultivate to develop sati, stabilize it to become samadhi, and the spiritual faculty, they will become very stable. So with sati and samadhi, wisdom will naturally arise upon you. So these five spiritual faculties, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, you must develop it until it becomes very powerful, unshakable, very stable. then they become vanas. So I have helped you to put it into the vows to the yellow card, the four page yellow cards. So if you go through, you will find them. And even in our chanting book, we also help you to make the aspiration until the spiritual faculties become unshakable through invoking power, merits, and all these things. Okay, so with this, maybe we can end our sharing, and we will continue with the second session. Okay, we will open up for meditation, reporting, and Q&A, and also maybe Dharma sharing, Dharma in daily life.
Bradil,
yeah.
因为我要 share 两个 experience 哈、哦，
啊，
有几天前的晚上哦，我在看 YouTube， 说、他那个 YouTube 刚好是做那个六祖慧能的，他是连续剧来的，他就做把他就 cut 成那个很像我们的 short video 这样，
对，
做到八分钟的那个 short video，
对。
So that times 我就在看，我在看到第一个的那个 video 的时候，他是讲那个nun那个尼姑，
他
在那个大涅槃经，
对，
那个conversation，
but
very good 哈、between 他们的那个 conversation。因为这个是连续剧，所以、他 exactly 是跟着那个六祖坛经里面的那个故事来答，说、the whole section， 说、他的那个 conversation very beautiful，
very profound also。
所以我看了这个第一个的 video 了以后，我就看下一个second video。second video 是就是做那个慧能他那个时候就听那个，听到那个他在听那个金刚经，
对，
这个 video clip 里面的那个recite 金刚经的是一个和尚来的，
对，
他不是 merchant， 所以、我就在看住那个 video， 然后那个和尚他就在念那个金刚经，然后那个慧能就在外面听、the moment 那个和尚他念到那个
应无住
故而生其心的时候 suddenly 我的 heart 里面很 vibrating， 我整个人来 understand 这整个的
You have the ability already. That's why it can have that understanding to appreciate that profound Dhamma, which is so beautiful.
Yeah, 我也很 surprised， 他就是念到了这一句。哇，里面很 deep 的 inside， 一直 vibrating， 来整个来，我就明白，它不是在 thought 里面，它是一种感觉，你就是明白吧。
It's an understanding where you have stabilized that aspect. Yeah. When you have the ability to be aware and silent, then you can know why that phrase, that stanza is so beautiful. The mind must have no dwelling.And that one is very beautiful. Because the moment the mind dwell, it creates the mundane thinking. The mundane mind arises. So that is what dwelling. Like I always say, our mind, we can do only one thing at a time. Either we are lost in thought with the sankhara, preoccupied with our thinking, our emotion, our reaction to sense experience,or we are completely silent and still. Where we are completely silent and still, there is just the awareness, nature that is aware. That's why it does not dwell. That's why we have this ability to understand. It's only the specific phenomenal awareness, means the true mind is aware of specific phenomena. Or when it's completely silent, without a center,then it is in the oneness nature. Then it has the ability to be aware of all things. If you want to know, it can know. Otherwise, it's just still, silent, away. So all this is the result of cultivation, understanding, transformation. That's why you can have the ability because you have gone through quite a lot. And all these are very beautiful. In fact, if you really go and listen to all this very attentively, it can bring forth a lot of understanding and wisdom. Even the dialogue between the nun and Huineng, at that time, I remember it was so beautiful because the nun actually initially, when he came to know who Huineng is, she was like very disappointed and unimpressed. Well, Huineng said he's an illiterate, he never go to school. He doesn't know the word. But he showed him that sutta, that Huineng said, I don't know how to read. Then he said, you don't know how to read, how can you understand? And how can you teach? He said, if you read to me, I can understand. So Huineng later on explained to her, Dhamma is not words, it's not concept, it's not sutta. It cannot be understood by pure learning, intellectual learning. You need understanding, wisdom to awaken. But these are truth. These are reality which is beyond mind, beyond thought. Then he gives some example, I remember. Then they were very beautiful. You go through that one, it's very meaningful. Then later on, when he listened to the Diamond Sutta, expounded by the fifth patriarch, oh, that part was very beautiful. That part is on the nature, all about that nature and the understanding of the purpose of that mundane mind. This mind, he said, you must know how to use it and yet not deluded by it, not deceived by it. Oh, that one is the most profound. That's why at that time, my nature also become very, very different. There was so much joy and the profoundness of that teaching. In fact, the author who wrote that thing may not understand what that deep meaning is, that profound meaning is. But for a cultivator who has the understanding, it's so beautiful. That is what the Dhamma is. Ultimately, is to realize that this mundane mind is karmically conditioned for us to come and to live life, to make use of it, to live life, to arise within the conditioned world. Because duality exists within the conditioned world, Dhamma exists within the conditioned world, law of karma exists within the conditioned world. The conditioned world recognizes relationship. That's why there is birth and death. There is always-ness and death. Then there is living beings. There is human being. Then there is life. There is existence. There is Dhamma. So everything like exists, which is true, basically. That is what the teaching is all about. But when you awaken and realize the ultimate unconditioned reality or truth, then you realize exactly like what Kuan Yin under the Heart Sutta mentioned, in true emptiness, all this that exists in the conditioned world didn't exist because that is the unconditioned. That's why in the Heart Sutta, when you recite it, you will understand there is no contradiction. So all this is possible. Sadhu to you, Rasa. You will go through all this. You will start to go through. Then you will see the beauty of all this. That's why in the early days, I remember, I also like to follow some of this video. Even though I am English educated, I couldn't really understand the more profound Mandarin words, because some of the words are beyond what I understand. Then I have to check with my wife. Then when I ask my wife, I only want to know the meaning of the word. I don't want to know the explanation. I know the meaning. Once I understand the meaning of the word, then I will know whether it's the truth or not. Then the profoundness of that truth become very clear to me, because my nature already awakened to it long ago. So what I need is the meaning of the beauty of that Dhamma, means the actual understanding of that description, the words. Because the Dhamma, the truth, my nature has awakened to in the past, from its past life cultivation. That's why this life, when I encounter truth, my nature straight away can understand. And also the way I give is the way I receive. Yeah, this is law of karma. You reap what you sow. That's why I receive truth very fast. I awaken very fast. Then I can understand things very fast. So all this will be reflected as you go through the path of Dhamma, the cultivation and all those things. So for you, you are going through all this and you will continue to experience more and more, and it will become more and more meaningful, more and more profound. Then when that thing stabilizes, you will be able later on to share and express it out. Then when you read sutta or whatever that has the truth, you will understand it very differently from what people explain in the commentaries. Because I realize not all commentaries are accurate. Most of them are not accurate. They explain based on their understanding at their level. So all this is part and parcel of cultivation, the Buddha Dharma. So hopefully with this understanding and explanation, you can develop actually clearer, more stable understanding and move on. Yeah, this is very beautiful. Yeah, you can continue the song. Then after that, what happened?
那个时候我觉得很讲，哇，我说每次我们 attend Berdu 的 class， 有时我们念金刚经，这个应无所住而生其心这七个字来，just you understand， but 你只是在 knowledge wise，
yeah 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 yeah，
那个 V 它只是这样子一读，哇，你整个人哦，
yeah。
整个人来很像你整个明白， but 他不是在 thought 那边就一种感觉就是你完全 realize that 这七个字的 它的 meaning 这样子，
yeah. 哇， it's like you have penetrated the Dhamma. It's no longer a knowledge to you anymore, because you have like penetrated, awakened to that Dhamma, and that Dhamma is so beautiful. It's nothing to do with the thought. Yeah. Because previously, when you read all this or hear all this, you look at the words. You look at the words. Then you try to get the meaning from the words. That's why it's not an awakening. That one is not a penetrative understanding. That one is still contemplation, reflection, trying to use the understanding that you have at that time to develop the understanding of it. So that is not awakening. The real awakening is like when you listen, the moment you listen, you awaken. That thing becomes so beautiful. Means your nature is ready to receive that type of truth. That's why sometimes people use the word the aha moment. That's why for Xu Yin Lao Ha Sang, when the attendant accidentally poured the hot boiling water onto and spill over to his hand, then during that instant, because during that instant it was a nature's reaction, the hand just moved and the cup actually dropped from the holding of the hand and cracked. At that moment when it cracked, he awakened. His mind like impulse rise, cease. Then when he come out, he understand everything. It's because at that moment when the thing, actually the boiling water, came into contact with his physical hand, what happened was he stopped thinking. The thought all freeze, stop, and he was ready. So when that thing stopped, it needs something to crack and trigger off. So in that case, was the cracking sound of the cup enough, trigger off. Then that nature awakened. That's why sometimes not necessary Dhamma to awaken. No. I remember in the first instant when I awakened to the three universal characteristics, I was actually standing at the side listening to one of my guide teaching somebody, the Singaporean, about phenomena and all those things. Then he said, see, she just moved her hand two times. I straight away, without thought, because I was mindful, aware, silent, I awakened to the three universal characteristics straight away. And there was no Dhamma, nothing. He said, see, just see. Then she moved her hand. I remember two movements. Then she just said, what do you see? That person cannot understand what she said. But I was standing at the side because I was aware, mindful, my nature saw. And this is what phenomena is all about. This is what Patisasamupada is all about. This is what dependent origination is all about. Condition arising, causal phenomena. Arise already, exist. Then it move again, exist. That's either come and go. Then if this is like that, it can apply to all things. All of the phenomenal world is the same. All of nature's characteristic is the same. That's why the phenomenal world of form, the phenomenal world of consciousness, everything become very clear. So a lot of things in cultivation, even Ajahn Chah also same. He also went into the stillness and silence and the mind went in after he heard some drum vibration or what celebration in the village somewhere. Yeah, he was doing his walking meditation and all that. Then he was completely silent. Then all of a sudden that thing triggered off. Then he went in. And then the mind went into cessation. Then when he came out, he just understand the Dhamma. Yeah. So the way people become enlightened or awakened can be in very varied form. Even during the times of the Buddha, you have many examples about monks, nuns, and all those things. There was one nun, remember, he was washing her feet as she poured the water because she was so mindful and aware. Before the water reached the end, she became an arahant. How come that is possible? Then there was one monk who can't even remember one stanza. The Buddha gave him a white cloth and asked him to clean it up. Then he realized the more he wanted to clean it up, the more dirty he became. Then he suddenly also awakened and became an arahant because he realized originally that cloth that the Buddha gave to him was already pure. Pure means that true nature. But when he used his own like mundane mind to try to clean it, the more he do, the more dirty that cloth become. Then he realized the defilement come from the memory, come from the brain, the accumulation of knowledge and all those things. Then he realized the truth and awakened that he no need to do anything, silent, to realize that nature. Then the mind return to its original state. That's why a lot of very profound awakening, they happen not to listening to the Dhamma. They happen because of their unique way of cultivation. And then like Sariputta, he heard the Dhamma and he became a Sotapan. When Asaji recite those things. So most of the monk during that time is through hearing the sutta, especially the fire sermon. Everything is burning. The eye is burning, consciousness. So when you have the Dhamma, this one can awaken very fast. But there are some who has to go through different means and all this. So you will experience all these things. You will go through and come to know what your nature is, what are your unique character and feature and past training. Then you will see how it unfolds. And you will also gain understanding. And you will understand why all these other people can also awaken. This is the beauty of the Dhamma. So this part is for you. So also maybe putting they all. So as they cultivate, they will know. So listen to all this again. Then it will give you more understanding and faith. In fact, today's sharing is very good. Even the explanation of inherently everything is originally still and empty is very beautiful. Although you may think that it's the same essential Dhamma that I go through, but the way I present it this time because of condition is very different. It just come out on that. I didn't plan anything or prepare anything. It just happened. So for you, it's good. So this is the correct way to actually develop it. So you can continue. Continue with your sharing.
Yeah. Then 第二天早上的时候, 我又在 continue 看那个 video clip. 说他就 做到 那个 神秀跟那个 慧能的那个 four stanza. 说那个 这个 clip 是在讲 那个 小和尚, 他们就在那个 kitchen 里面 recite 那个 神秀的那个 那个 stanza, 就是 生死菩提树心啊，哦，那四个 the moment 哦，他们一 recite 哦，哇，我的里面就一直就开始在 vibrating 了，然后过后这个慧能呢就跑到了那个 temple 后面的那个墙那边，对，他就叫旁边那一个人帮他写他的 stanza，当那一当那个人一写菩提本无树的时候，他说。 很 strong 的 vibrating， 我整个人哦变成一个 vibration， 只是在那边一直 vibrating 了。然后他就一直写，我就一面看，哇，就一直在 vibrating 整个那个。
Because of the understanding has become more stable， more what we call more clearer to you。 That's why it show out， it express out， like you have penetrated this Dhamma。 And it's like that. That's why your nature can actually feel it. Then there is this deep joy. Then there is this deep understanding.
So, 当他写到何处惹尘埃的时候，哇，那个眼泪流出来。
That is the ultimate. Because originally it was empty. Where can the dust align? So if you understand the two stanza, 神秀 and 慧能, you look at how 慧能 actually tear apart 神秀's poem. Actually, 神秀's poem is not that bad, but he has not awakened. He has reached the what we call the gate of enlightenment, but he cannot cease his mind to realize it. That's why the fifth patriarch knew. He said, not bad, is it? This stanza, you all can actually follow it. Yeah? And it will develop a lot of understanding too, and also what we call parami too. So he asked the monk, to the fifth patriarch as a monk to actually recite it and learn from it. That one is actually at the stage of the Theravada tradition's cultivation. He said the body is like a Bodhi tree. Sun Zhu Pu Ti Su, which is very true, because like the Buddha said, he got enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree. So our physical body, since you realize, is like that Bodhi tree, where from that physical body he can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness: Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, Citta Nupassana, and Dhamma Nupassana. That's why he said our body is like the Bodhi tree. And the Buddha also mentioned very clearly. He said, this body of ours, he said, when you are mindful and aware, you can contemplate it, develop the mindfulness of it, along with mindfulness and thought, he proclaimed the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that led to the cessation of the world. Means, since you knew what the Buddha was trying to explain, that the physical body, this phantom-length body, along with perception, mindfulness, and thought, I proclaim the Four Noble Truths, the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that leads to cessation. So he knew this is the four foundation of mindfulness. So he said, our physical body is very important, which is very good. Then he said, our mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. Ah, that one, he got it wrong. Well, that is the mundane mind. He has never gone beyond the mundane mind. That's why he cling on to that mind. Then he said, we have to constantly, continuously polish this mundane mind until it shines so that no dust can align. So to him, this is cultivation. So this is like the Theravada level cultivation. He actually followed the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil, do good. But he doesn't understand what purification of mind is, because he didn't develop the mindfulness, the daily mindfulness. So to him, he only maintained awareness or that type of mindfulness according to him. He didn't develop the stability of daily mindfulness. He didn't know how to relax, maintain awareness, silence everything, because he hold on to the wrong mind. Means he want to be constantly aware, ever mindful, but not knowing that this constantly aware, ever mindful is a silent mind that is silent to observe and to awaken, not to do things, not to look at duality, defilement, not to every time want to maintain that alertness, that awareness, so that no dust can align. Means like polish until it shine, until that mundane mind, nothing can come near. Means you are caught in duality, one-sided duality. So the moment Hui Ning hear the stanza, the poem, he knew he has not realized the true mind. He doesn't understand what the true mind is. That true mind is the silent mind, that true nature within. So he came out with another poem to tear him apart. Then because of his wisdom, he said, Pu Ti Peng Wu Su, Bodhi, enlightenment, is not a tree. It has nothing to do with concept and all those things. It's an awakening. It's a wisdom. That's why Pu Ti Peng Wu Su. That Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. He said that is not the true mind. The true mind has nothing to do with the mirror bright understand. The true mind is just that nature. Then he said, Within the true mind, originally there was no duality, no word. 本来无一物。So if you have realized that nature, that is the unconditioned, it's just that nature is not a being, it cannot talk, it don't have word, it don't have concept, nothing. That's why originally it was empty. 本来无一物。There was nothing inside there where you cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. So that was the true mind. 本来无一物，何处惹尘埃？ Then how can the dust alight? That the dust come about through your mundane mind that create the duality. When you create duality, then dust arise. Wholesome and unwholesome arise. Defilement and non-defilement arise. So when you are caught in this, then like the stanza that the Buddha spoke, imas mean sati idang hoti, imas mean asati idang ahoti. Since you didn't understand, that one talk about duality. He said when this arise, that arise. That is what duality is. When you create a opposite, means defilement, means automatically, whatever is not defilement is wholesomeness. So you want wholesomeness, you don't want defilement. But both of these are duality created by the mundane mind. So how can you cultivate this way to cease it? You can't. But when you create one, the opposite automatically manifests. That's why imas means sati, idang hoti. When this arise, that arise. Then the Buddha continued, he said, imas means asati. When this ceases, that ceases. Means when you don't create, both the duality never exists. That's why Hui Ning knew. Originally it was empty. If you don't create, where can the dust align? And that one bring about profound understanding and awakening. That's why when the fifth Patia read that, he knew since he was not ready. And he straight away went to the kitchen and looked for Hui Neng and told him, of course, the way they talk is like camouflage. The words are camouflage. Then Hui Neng knew that the fifth Patia invited him to come over to hand him the patronship and all this thing and the final teaching means the mind seal. So I think maybe the night Sun Gun, he went and see Hong Run, the fifth patriarch, and received the patronship, the bow and the rope, and also the insignia, the teaching. So that's how that Six Patriarch Platform Sutra becomes so meaningful and so beautiful. And my nature can understand this straight away. The moment I heard that poem, nobody taught me. Nobody described and explained it to me before. No teacher, nothing. The book also never write like that. But my nature awakened and I knew what that thing is. That's why it's so beautiful. So when originally there was nothing, where can the dust align? Means do not be foolish. Do not allow the mundane mind to create duality. Then do not hold on to things. Do not give meaning to things. You know, all this pertain to the mundane world, mundane existence. Within existential world, duality exists. Life exists. Living being exists. All this exists. But when you realize profound emptiness, when you awaken, all this within the unconditioned doesn't exist. That's why in true emptiness, there is no such thing. So this is the profound meaning. So you should reflect, contemplate, and go deep into it and develop your own understanding. So initially, it's like what you have gone through, like, wow, so beautiful. Yeah. But you should reflect and contemplate until you can come out with your own understanding. why it is so beautiful, and how when later on it continue to have the dialogue with the fifth patriarch, the exchange of words are so beautiful. Yeah. So the profound understanding of that true nature is very beautiful. Then it clearly explains what the mundane mind is and what that true mind, that true nature is. And that type of conversation between two enlightened beings, only the enlightened one can understand, can awaken. So hopefully with this detailed explanation, more and more people can develop the understanding and the contemplation to go into all this. Then more and more people can develop the understanding to later on share this beautiful teaching. Okay, so salute to you.
Berarti, 然后我这几天也有在 continue 看那个 short video, like, 哇，我发现到那个六祖的。 他的 conversation 真的是很好，很
profound，yeah，very simple，
他是直指人心，but
very profound，yeah，很
simple，but 他是 direct to 你的那个 true
mind，yeah，your nature，yeah，because he bypass all the Theravada type of teaching，the method，the technique，the dhamma，he bypass everything，because the first hallmark is 无念。 You must realize your true mind. Without thought, that is your true mind. And nobody can teach like that. That's why only he teach like that. Where he take you direct to the true mind. That's why his way is so direct and very penetrative. And he bypass all the so-called initial teachings. Yes, the initial teaching of the Theravada tradition, the essential Dhamma, the thing, they are so beautiful, so meaningful, but they are all thought-based, understand, knowledge-based. So that one need reflection, contemplation, inquiry to stabilize. Then finally to awaken, you need the turning. You have to silence everything to insight into phenomena to awaken. Because without mindfulness, without realizing the true mind, you cannot meditate. You cannot awaken, you cannot understand. That's why his three hallmark is very beautiful. After you penetrate the no thought, realize your true mind, then only you can develop the daily mindfulness, the silent mind, to develop higher wisdom, to realize the no mark. That no mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of others, and no mark of life, existence, and Dhamma is very profound. It's not easy. That one is you have to realize true emptiness to realize the no mark, the dwelling and all those things, of course, the silent mind that observe and come to understand, like I explained this earlier before we start at the beginning. That whole thing, you have to understand it very clearly. And then that teaching becomes so different. Then after you can clear the no mark, you are already very, very different. Your cultivation is already very, very advanced. Then to reach the stage of no dwelling is not easy. You need to go the bodhisattva way, and I think for the mundane mind to collapse is not easy. You need to have parami and all those things. So all this, don't worry. It will happen. That it depends on the individual's cultivation, their understanding, their perseverance, their sincerity, their trust, and also that what we call faith. Faith is very important. So all these are very beautiful. So more and more Kayamita are moving into this direction of cultivation. That's why my sharing also, I realize I'm going into all this in a different manner, in a deeper manner. Then all the explanation that I develop and explain now is very easy to understand, because there's a lot of clarity. Because basically, most of you all have already developed the initial basic understanding and stability of mindfulness and cultivation to have that condition to receive all these type of teachings. So all this will prepare you all for the next retreat. The next retreat is going to be very, very beautiful, and a lot of things is going to happen. So very good, sadhu to you, Brasong. You can continue. What else?
Before, class 的时候，当你在做 explanation 的时候，那个 那个 dharma 很像只是在那种 intellectual 的那种 level， 但我这一次我在看这个 video clip 的时候，他们的那种 conversation， 哇，尤其那个 六祖慧能他的那个 explanation， 哎呦，我可以明白 ，Andy 他是 direct to 就是，等下我就明白了哦 ，whatever 那些人每次来跑来 advise 他的，因为如果他们不能够 realize 这个 true mind。 他们就会 caught in the 那个 mundane mind， 在 mundane mind 里面就有这个 duality。我们 duality 的时候，我们就会有 question 了的。
Yeah， that's why 神秀 when he teach them the noble eightfold path is all thought based。 That's why when the six patriarch under the exchange with one of the disciple， he say how did your teacher 神秀 teach you？Then after that, the sixth patriarch explained, no, noble eightfold path is not like that. Nothing to do with all those things. So the disciple was shocked. Because what they learned is knowledge, thought-based, dhamma, not the profound teaching. The profound teaching of noble eightfold path is very different. The right view is based on the penetrative understanding, awakening. Means the three hallmark of awakening, you must at least clear the first hallmark. Otherwise, you cannot have right view. And when you have right view, it's not about how to continue to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, or something. All these are still the initial cultivation. Without wisdom, without the stability of understanding, the Noble Eightfold Path cannot become a part of you. You cannot have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. Yet you need the initial wisdom, you need Soma Manasikara. So when that one arises, then naturally the four right effort fall into place. Then when the third turning wisdom, the awakening arises, that wisdom, they will prompt you at the moment of sense experience. That's why you will know what the Buddha meant by Yoniso Manasikara. That one must be there. Whereas what sense you taught them one is to use memory, to use Dhamma knowledge to try to overcome. All the explanation is thought-based. That's why training say, you cultivate like that, you're wasting your time. You cannot awaken. You have to silence. You have to observe, you have to awaken. Then only all this become possible. Then you have to reflect, contemplate until very stable. Then from inside, it come out from you. That's why the whole understanding of the awakening is so different. So if you cannot understand the real function of the awakening, how can you teach people? You cannot. There is no way. You will be stuck in knowledge, thought-based, coming out with teachings that are logical and other things, which is not from the direct seeing, the awakening. So, understanding the cultivation is very important. Without understanding, you meditate without understanding, it will not lead to awakening. It will lead to mainly thought-based. Thought-based, knowledge-based, Dhamma knowledge. So, realizing the true mind, the silent mind, is paramount, prerequisite. That's why you must have sati, stabilize that sati, realize that true mind, the silent mind. Then from there develop heedfulness. Actually, I don't blame the Theravada tradition and the Buddhist tradition, because the emphasis is on memorizing sutta, chanting and order and repeating all of it. At that time was no writing. Then it has been like that for so long. Then they depend on commentaries. Then over the years, the teaching has become like distorted. The true teaching is no longer there. That's why you need the real cultivator who has the awakening to really bring back the authentic teaching and teach and share. That's the reason why initially when I wanted to come out to share, I find it so difficult to teach people. Because you are so conditioned by all the various Theravada method, technique and teachings. The book base, the commentary base, the sutta base and all those things. Whereas the true understanding is from that silent mind, that true mind, the awareness nature. And I don't know why that sati was not explained to people in a very clear manner. That one, I think over the years, it must have been lost. And when they translate to other languages, it becomes more difficult. At least what Bodhidharma bring over to China, that one still very good. The Mahayana tradition, they know what that sati is. Zennian and all those things. That's why a lot of the Zen tradition, they know what the daily mindfulness is, the awareness nature, that true nature. They know. But the real teacher who has that transformation and experience, that one is still not that many. Only the patriarch and the very close disciples. That's why this type of teaching is not easy to come about, to receive. So what we have developed is actually very, very beautiful with the website and all those things, the short video, the sharing. All this is going to help future generation. And also a lot of pranimitta, if you spend time listening to all this, you can actually awaken. Try to write it down. What I say, write it down. Then read through it again. Sometimes you think you know because you listen and the words are there for you to follow. That is like very beautiful. But when you close the book or don't refer to anything, just listen, you cannot remember, you realize. It is still not stable inside. There is understanding, but not stable. So you need to write it down somewhere. You write it down. Then the meaning stand out. It becomes very beautiful. Well, all this understanding that my nature went through and the cultivator went through is because we have cultivated them for a very, very long time. Then when we share, it just come out like that. And it is like very simple, very easy, because everything is been summarized and laid out. But when you write it down, that's why the transcript is very good. You read the transcript, then you realize all these are so beautiful. That's why today one, you can do up the transcript, it's going to be very beautiful. Especially my earlier explanation and all those things. Because I realized this adapted verse, essence of infinite meaning, so far there is no transcript as yet. So if you all have the time or have the interest, you should start with this one. Today one is very good, the sharing. Okay, Brian Song, you can continue. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
But Virtue 真的, 你, 那个 understanding of 这个, 这一个 path, 一定要很清楚。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why 很像如果是以前的我，我一定会马上会问，如果我那天的 experience， 我一定会马上问 why like that， 我就跑来问你了。Yeah, yeah, yeah. 等于说以前我每次 call， 不是你每次以前讲我在 talk 里面，等于说那个时候真的是下了很多的effort 去 cultivate， 去 realize， 只是到了最近才开始慢慢的能够去 differentiate 这两个 mind。Others why 很容易的那个 habitual tendency 就 take over 了。然后每次就来那个 thought 就很想要知道为什么 为什么，所以以前我很多的为什么。
That is the basic mistake of cultivator. Even they don't know how to differentiate within the two mind. They always go back to the mundane mind.Which has the conditioning, the habitual thinking, and all those things. And all these are thought based. That's why I always told you wherever that is from the thought. It's from the thought. Again, it has come back through the back door. The thought is still active behind. The thought wants to know. Who wants to know? The thought wants to know. So, unless you can understand like what Krishnamurti say, the limitation of thought, you will continue to use thought. Then unless you can understand the danger of how thought divide and create reality, concept through concept and words, then you will never stop using thought. But to you, thought is so beautiful, so wonderful.Yeah. But thought has its purpose, has its place. Because to come to this existential world, to live life, you need thought. It's an instrument for communication, for expression, for learning the technical thing, the art, the science, and all those things. But when it comes to psychological emotion, you cannot use thought.Because that is a waste of energy. It will create stress, negativity or energy. So thought has its purpose. Memory. Thought are respond to memory. All this, it has its purpose. But not to apply it to psychological problem. Psychological problem need Dhamma. Dhamma medicine. But to study technicalscience subject, mathematical subject, IT, everything, you need thought. Because without thought, the logical mind cannot function. And the logical mind need to think. And you have to think with clarity. That's why the four bases of success will ensure the mundane success. You have those things. So if you know how to develop them, the first one is passion. For you to be successful in whatever you want to excel in, you must have the passion to do it, to understand it. Then you go all out. That's why after that is virya. Then the investigation, vimamsa, then citta, the willpower and all those things. That one you need thought, you use thought. So understanding all this is not easy.That's why when I started to come out to share and teach, I realized the traditional dogma is very, very limited, very dogmatic. They cannot expand into all this. So that's why I knew acting according to memory, sutta, knowledge is not acting at all. You need to develop insight, wisdom, awakening. Then only you can penetrate all this.And to penetrate all this is not easy. Yeah, you need the silent mind. And this silent mind I have been trying to teach for so long, only recently, only the last few years, it starts to take shape and root. Then like what you mentioned, last time you still cannot understand that a lot of questions come from that thought. Because basically,that thought process is the mundane mind. You cannot differentiate between the two mind, the two nature, develop clear understanding, then you cannot really free. So for your case, song is very good. But do reflect, contemplate, and realize the big difference between the mundane mind and the true mind. You must have clear understanding of these two minds. Otherwise, you will fall back to the mundane mind. Like you say, habitual tendency, deep-rooted habitual tendency, even you also realize that it's not easy to root out all these things. Then you must combine what I share with you in Krishnamurti's teaching. It's very good, Krishnamurti. He explained why thought is limited, but he didn't go into the detail. I explain it to you, what is thought. Basically, when we are with the true mind, it's just spacious awareness. There is no content of consciousness. That's why thought cannot arise. There is just an awareness. But when you come in from memory to perceive, then it brings in the external form, then your views, your opinion, your conditioning go in, the condition, the content of consciousness go in. Then it creates a thought. Then this thought is limited because whatever you come to perceive, you shrink that pure awareness, consciousness into that limited field, like the Buddha image. You zoom into that. Then that content of consciousness with your views, opinion, conditioning, and comments, that views go in. Then it becomes a thought. So that's why that thought is limited. That thought is egoic because it comes from delusion. Not until you are enlightened, you don't know how to use thought. That's why the use of thought is very important. So when the user has Dhamma, has wisdom, then thought become right thought, wholesome thought, beautiful thought. And then you can use thought. Then thought become your friend. No more problem. Otherwise, it will condition attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, sakayaditi. Then you always revert back to thought because that is the only instrument that human being understand. So see all this clearly, understand all this clearly, then you will never revert back to thought. Then you will know thought has its place in life, in society, but not in the psychological world, not for Dhamma awakening and understanding, not for cultivation. Cultivation, you have to realize the truth, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So you must understand all this very clearly. Then only you can have the true penetrative clarity and understanding to cultivate accordingly. So with all this explanation, I hope you all will understand. It's not easy to understand this teaching. It's not what you think. So this is very beautiful, Vasong. Thank you so much for bringing out all this condition for my nature to explain all this. This part is actually very difficult to understand and very profound. But slowly there is condition ready because otherwise the sharing will not have all this that I just shared. This is for you to understand. Why the mundane mind has its limitation? Why is limited? Why is egoic? Why you cannot use it to cultivate Dhamma and apply it to solve your life problem, psychological problem? You cannot. You use that, you die. You act according to memory, then you don't act according to understanding or wisdom, then you don't use unisotman, etc. Then your whole cultivation go haywire. That's why people use intellect, knowledge, Dhamma knowledge, to try to practice Dhamma. You can't. So all this will become very clear. Okay, so?
Sadhu. Yeah, sadhu, brother. Yeah.
Today is very good. Yeah.
其实我觉得我们每个感恩他一定要 put effort， 就是要有 faith 的那个 understanding 去 cultivate。所以当我们在 meditate 的时候，其实我们就是在 train 那个 mundane mind to be silent， 就 train is， 其实是在 train 我们的那个 silent mind。所以 whatever 那个 experience you have to, you go through， 它只是那个 part of the cultivation， 不要去just let it be。
Yeah.
That's why 我们会有很多的、哦、如果我们的那个、 我们 not understand 他的这个，我们不 understand 我们的这个 training 的话，我们就会很容易的 fall into 那个 experience、啊、我们一直想要知道、啊、这个 experience 是什么，那个又是什么、啊、yeah, but 如果我们知道它只不过是 part of the way 的时候、啊、就是 let it be、啊、then 你就是意思总之我们要就是 silent 它 whatever 它 arise 都不要去管它，所以、so、我们的慢慢的慢慢的一直每天这样子的去 cultivate、哦maybe about 15 minutes or 20 minutes. So, 你去 train 那个 mind, 你的 mind 会慢慢啊，在它就会慢慢，我们就会 build up 那个 understanding 跟那个 faith 啊，啊，
它就会越来越静、啊、more and more quiet, more and more aware that it doesn't think. So that is very important. That is mindfulness leading to heedfulness. When you are heedful, most of the time you are just aware.You only need to arise a thought when you need to use thought for living life or understanding or sharing or whatever. Apart from that, you are most of the time silent away. So you have to reach that stability of training. Then when you develop the cultivation, like you mentioned, whatever that happened, all of your experience, no matter how fantastic meditative experience oryou realize 什么境界 that one is not important, it's part of the way, yes, but what is important is, does it give rise to wisdom? If it give rise to wisdom, contemplative, reflection, inquiry, or direct seeing, that is useful. It's the wisdom that free our mind, straighten our view, and let us understand. So when more and more understanding is thereThat's why you need to silence your mind to observe, to be completely silent, to develop the ability to be aware of what is going on. Then you have self-knowledge. You know who are you, what are you. Then you understand how your mundane mind arises, how it stirs, how it creates all those things. Then what is thought, the limitation of thought, how thought divide and create all this conflict, misunderstanding.Then the evil root of it. This can only be understood through mindfulness, through awareness, through the internal awareness that see all these movements. If you cannot do that, you cannot meditate. Then it becomes the thought very active, thought trying to meditate, thought trying to know, thought trying to do. All this is thought-based. It cannot give rise to truethunderstanding or wisdom, that is not the nature observing. So thought trying to understand thought, how can you free from thought? Yeah, basically is thought trying to control thought. The controller is the control, you understand? That's how Krishnamurti put it. The controller, which is thought, is trying to control anger, emotion. But anger and emotion is another thought, understand now?You don't go and separate them. Because when you are aware, then you see clearly the delusion of thought. Because thought cannot go beyond thought. Thought is limited, egoic, has all these problems. So thought has its place in existence and life. But thoughtis not for us to use to cultivate the Dhamma, because thought cannot penetrate beyond thought to realize the Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So thought-based meditation, thought-based knowledge does not serve much purpose. It is not an awakening. It's not Dhamma, the true Dhamma. It's not the real cultivation. So see all thisunderstand all this, then you become very different. So today's main sharing is we are going deeper into the cultivation, because unless you truly understand what the cultivation is, you all can still be trapped at that mundane mind thought level, because that mundane mindis the only instrument that people understand, and they use that a lot. That's why you need to reverse all this through the training of the mind to be silent, to be aware, then you can see how it stir, how it arise, how it become emotional, fearful, insecure, frightful, how the views, opinion, the conditioning come in and create conflict, misunderstanding. Then you start to understand why the Buddha say mind is a foreign of all things, why mind is chief. When you give attention to the wrong thing, then the defilement, the asava become more and more. The unarisen one arises. Then the arisen all proliferate and become more and more powerful. But when you pay attention, the Sabbasava Sutta, when you attend to the Four Noble Truths, the three turnings, the Dhamma, understanding, then you realize the asava cease to be. The unarisen one cannot arise because you are basically contemplating, reflecting, and silencing your mind to develop wisdom, the Dhamma understanding. That's why when you pay attention to Dhamma, when you reflect on the three turning on the Four Noble Truths, when you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, when you cultivate the essential Dhamma, all these are right attention. Means you apply the thought to the right thing that you're supposed to develop understanding. You are not paying attention to negative thing, emotional thing, frightful thing, insecurity. That's why all the faith, when it's no more there, the faith, then you will develop the opposite, fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, sorrow, lament. These are all mental hindrances. And mental hindrance arise because the spiritual faculties are not there. So all this understanding you must have, then understand it clearly, write it out, so that it's no more a knowledge. Initially, you need to learn the teaching. You need to learn, then try to put it into practice. When you put it into practice, initially, the thought base keep on coming in to interfere. But the thought is very active. It's so conditioned, habitual, and understand. Then you need to continue to relax, maintain awareness and silence. That's why that part is very important. If you don't do that, you cannot realize the true mind. You cannot develop the stability or the awareness. Then you cannot do anything to your thinking mind, the mundane mind, where the heedless think a lot. Whereas the heedful never think, very seldom, most of the time just aware. So heedfulness is the path to the deathless. So you have to train your mind to be heedful. To be heedful, you must be aware, stabilize it, then make it ever mindful, then use it to cultivate. So all the essential Dhamma fall back into place. So when you understand all this, your cultivation should be done with understanding. Follow all these steps. Relax, maintain awareness, stabilize that, then become ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the essential Dhamma, everything. Then constantly listening to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, develop the faith, Siddha. Then arise the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara, then Sati Sampajana, the 10th step of Avijja Sutta. So all these will fall into place. They are all connected, linked. So this understanding is very important. So like what Song want to explain, is very beautiful because maybe now for your case song you have not developed the stability of clarity or understanding, that's why you cannot put into words, but you know basically what is all this. So if you experience anything or whatever arise during cultivation, always remember it's part of the way. As long as you are sincere, you have faith, and you persevere, the Dhamma will unfold. So don't go and create doubt, worry, am I doing it correctly? All these are mental hindrance. Have faith, be sincere, then persevere, just do. Then continue to silence your mind, observe, dwell in the Dhamma, attend to Dhamma, the three turning, the Four Noble Truths, the essential Dhamma. So all this, the daily routine, everything that I teach you, the daily mind, you will progress. You will become very beautiful. Okay? Yeah? So, Sadhu,
huh?
Sadhu, yeah. It's already 10:43, yeah? Thank you so much, Song, for bringing out the condition. Yeah? So today, one, listen to it. it can help a lot of people. The cultivation is all there, the understanding is all there. So slowly, slowly write it down and develop the clear understanding. Okay, so we shall end the whole thing. Let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.